a passionate instigator and dynamic problem solver. Dr. Kevin Ross Emery, the host of the Dr. Kevin Radio Show, will be taking you outside the box, behind the curtain, and identifying the load of BS we are fed every day. And now, Dr. Kevin.
Hey, hey, hey. And welcome to the Dr. Kevin Show. Here on Ohm Times, where we're changing the world, wait for it, one ohm at a time. And I want to remind people that this is a live call-in show, so you can call in at 202-570-7057. That's 202-570-7057. Or you can go to facebook.com/mydrkevin. You can look at the top of it. Pinned to the top is tonight's show, and you can make a comment there. I will see it, and I will bring it on air. So we do have a guest tonight, but the guest has not shown up yet. But we're hoping that there's just some minor delay. It is a Mercury retrograde. So we're going to wait and see, but we'll start with our hot topic. You know, we always have a hot topic that we like to talk about. Now, that hot topic can be, you know, something that makes me hot under the collar, or somebody that, or something that brings, warms the cockles of my heart. In this case, I'm going to come to the place from two perspectives, and I'm going to have a hot topic that does both. And so I want to start with something that just broke. I think it was 6 days ago, and it had to do with something that happened back in 2016. So the on November 7th, a judge ordered that there was a needed to be a $2 million they need to be a $2 million payout. I'm sorry. I know I'm sounding distracted, but my guest has contacted me on the computer at and has done one of the things that we know always. If you've been listening to the Dr. Kevin Show for a long time, you know that I send all my guests this very extensive sheet of what to expect on the Dr. Kevin Show, and how to connect to the Dr. Kevin Show, and everything they need to do. And then when they send me something that says they don't know how to connect, I know that they didn't read the sheet that I did. And so now I'm sitting here and I'm being distracted as I'm trying to get our guests the information they need so that they can call in. And I don't want to, Mercury is retrograde, 7057, and I've got to give him that number. And I'm saying it out loud to you guys because he wants me to email it. And he should be calling in any minute now, I am hoping. So anyways, so we have this little thing that happened. Trump was ordered to pay $2 million to charities over misuse of foundation. Court documents say, and I think that when you read the story, it talks about the fact of how he put on this fundraiser when he was fighting with Fox and didn't want to be on the debate with people. And now he has actually agreed to that settlement, and that he had just acknowledged that the foundation's money was spent properly and the lawsuit was politically motivated. So he said, I really didn't do it, but I'm gonna pay the $2 million anyways. Now, I don't know if something is fishy with that in your mind, but it does kind of sort of strike me as just a little off. You say, no. This money that I raised, that then was raised by my campaign fund as a nonprofit to support veterans and then got funneled back into my campaign and me getting elected and didn't really go to veterans at all, they were all wrong. But I'll just pay the $2 million. No, come on. Aha. So, hello, Bill, are you on the line?
Kevin, I am here. Sorry for being a little bit late. I couldn't figure out how to get connected. Don't ask. It's been a long day.
I can tell. That's all right. You're here now, and I'm just doing my hot topic, which, you know, I got the four sections of the show because I lined all that out when I sent you the attachment about being on the show.
Yeah.
So the hot topic is, does anybody really believe about the fact that Trump said, I know it's a Trump thing, so I'm hoping not to scare you away as a guest.
But don't worry, I'm good.
He just settled out for $2 million on something he said he didn't do, which they have found that he did do. And you say, well, I really didn't screw over the veterans and the charities that I raised all that money for that went into my campaign fund, but I'll pay the $2 million anyways. I don't know about you, but I don't buy that Donald's writing a check for $2 million for something that he didn't do. I mean, he fights over anything. He fights over everything. So he's got to be caught pretty red-handed. Yeah, so I don't know. Do you believe he's innocent as he's claiming and is just paying the $2 million because he's got such a kind heart? Or do you think he's asking us to believe a load of crap? What do you think, Bill?
Well, I cannot see that he has a kind heart. He's a human being, so somewhere inside there has got to be some good. I'll give him that. But he's also a business person, and he's going to take the course of cheapest way out. Because that's what business people do, and that sort of ethos. I'm not painting this as for everybody who's in business, okay? Just for this particular individual, that seems to be the characteristic. So I'd go with he's buying us off so that he can move on to the next thing.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of how I feel. And we're not big Trump supporters on this show, so it's not a big surprise to my listeners. But
I'm politically libertarian here, so.
Yeah. Oh, well, there you go. What do you think about what Rand Paul's been doing recently?
Oh, my gosh. So, libertarians, we get a lot of flack, you know. I suspect that there's more about political gain in the politics, the national politics of libertarians, than there is anything of substance. So I just have to say, if you're on the national stage, you know, go for it. Whatever allows you to keep your job, which is what it's all about at that level. You know, I get it. But when it comes to individual liberty and the things that really are important to libertarians, not too much of that going on the national stage. Even the Club for Growth has kind of left us behind.
No. It's fallen several places down. I think it's now been beat up by, you know, the Hair Club for Men. Last time I checked on the list.
Exactly.
So let me introduce today's guest who is here after we've done our hot topic. I'm going to let you pronounce your last name the first time for me. So then I have no excuses when I screw it up every other time because I'm going to give it a shot. Bill Trotzman.
Perfect. You're awesome. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad somebody noticed I'm awesome. Thank you, Bill. Bill is a man on a mission to raise the awareness of the power of music as self-care. He is a successful IT entrepreneur who holds a magnum cum laude degree in piano performance and creative writing. Love it, love it, love it. Fabulous. And brings music to the audiences in non-traditional ways. In 2011, he launched Music Care Inc., a for-purpose. Okay, so I'm going to have to ask about that because I cut and pasted it. So it said for-purpose corporation. Was it supposed to say? I like that. That's a little play on words, isn't it, Bill? That's not
it
a
good
spell.
Yeah.
I like that. Good job. That teaches Thank practical you. Ways music can be used for self-care, which is so right on. His work was recognized with the National Council for Behavioral Health and an Award of Excellence in 2014, the behavioral health equivalent of winning an Oscar. So, and we're going to remind everybody, 202-570-7057, it's a live call-in show. Bill, so I like to start by, we know that you are doing this great stuff with Music Care Inc. And, you know, the one thing that I don't have on this thing that I brought in, and I want to put it on the comment field right now, is how do people contact you and find out more about this? Because my write-up didn't come with that.
Sure. The easy way is quest.musiccare.net. And that's a landing page, but it's also the gateway to an online course and a bunch of free stuff. And you'll find me there. You can click on the thing below my picture that says Bill Perotsman will take you off in a hole. Well, there's rabbit holes aplenty for this, but that's the easy way, quest.musiccare.net.
Quest.musiccare.net. Okay. Well, yeah. We have put that out. And your website should show up. I am hoping in a second to know it's there. But as we're doing that to see where I might have Yeah, I must have misspelled it. So we're gonna go ahead.
Old-fashioned way, right? Maybe
yep.
I can type it here.
Yep, yep. If you go on to Dr. Kevin, my Dr. Kevin, on Facebook.com, I'm going to have you type that on. And then we're going to – because I want to make sure people can hear more about Music Care Inc. And the ways that you're using music. I'm a big music fan myself, so I'm actually going to delete – whatever I did wrong, I will let you to go to facebook.com and put on the contact information. And also while you're there, don't forget to like it because I'm a likable guy. I know you don't know that yet, but you will by the end of the show.
No, I can already get that feeling. It's good.
So while we're doing that, where would you like to take us outside the box, Bill? Where would you like to take my listeners outside the box?
Let's start with the for purpose. I love the notion of a corporation that's in the business to actually make some money that deploys that money for good. So, you know, how much money does a corporation really need? I'm not a big one. Obviously, folks like, you know, Elon and Jeff are in a much better place to deploy meaningful funds. But what about this notion of just having a defined give back? Saying, you know what, we're going to pay our employees and we're going to carve off a percentage of what we do and use that for good. Tell people who really don't have any way to access these services, be able to receive them at no cost because they deserve it and they can't pay. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. I think that's a for purpose for me.
Well, you know, and we are finding they're not putting it exactly as you just put it, and you put it very well, but you are finding that corporations are becoming more aware of the kind of give back, and sometimes this hurts them because sometimes they give back to things which, you know, I don't think it did Chick-fil-A a whole lot of good to be giving money to, you know, a lot of anti-LGBTQ organizations.
Exactly.
You know,
yes.
I mean,
you gotta have a purpose that you know, has some humanitarian, a proactive humanitarian purpose rather than a restrictive one. It doesn't work when Chick-fil-A like tries to close people off and become isolationist. Isolationism isn't working, in my opinion.
Yeah. Well, I think that is. I mean, I think that is part of the thing is how do you support something that doesn't alienate? I mean, like, I mean, I want to hear more, and I'm sure you will as we go through the rest of the questions. But how do you choose where you give your money to? What's the for purpose?
Right, right. So I got started doing what I do, which is teaching people how to use music as a tool, when I was encouraged to do this for veterans, specifically post 9/11 veterans who were, you know, in recovery from being homeless or from being addicted. And that opened up my eyes because I'd never volunteered before. You know, Kevin, it's when you volunteer, it's a completely different kind of engagement than I was used to. I was used to being, you know, like the worker bee and doing the stuff. And so giving back was something I just came to later in life. I think it was probably in my late 40s, early 50s. And it changed everything for me because I began to realize how important it is that we pick a cause that's noble and support that cause in a way that really helps to change the landscape. I'm not a big fan of volunteering for things that are restrictive, as you know, or isolationist, as you know. And I know there are people that volunteer for that too. And no judgment here. If that's fine, if that lights you up, then do that. But there's something about just the influx of young veterans who, at the time I started, were experiencing things like addiction and homelessness and just didn't feel like they had transitioned well off of the military into civilian life. And so I become close to veterans' causes, I become close to homelessness. And those are, for want of a better reason, the things that light me up. I feel that they're noble causes and that they obviously are issues that are getting bigger and bigger all the time instead of smaller and smaller. And if you get into those volunteer lanes, you'll discover very quickly that the resources available do the right thing and the people who can actually do the work and the needs far outweigh the folks who want to help and the money that's available. So that's kind of what guides me, is helping folks who couldn't really do anything for themselves unless there was a way forward that was offered by volunteers or people who are willing to give money to the cause, you know, nonprofits who are doing that.
Well, and, you know, so first of all, I think that's great. I think it's funny that I chose to have a hot topic because I didn't realize that you started this as a veterans program, which was about the fact of the whole, because the whole like nonprofit monies that were being raised were supposed to be for veterans. And then they didn't get it. So that in itself, with your background, must have been a little irritating. but
just a little.
I want to come back and hear more about that and also talk a little bit more about that veteran connection, as well as what you're doing with music. Bill Protzman and Music Care, Inc.
Conscious Media for Conscious Minds, Om Times. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at AscendingHearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going Om? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Imagine being fired because of who you love. Imagine being denied medical treatment because of who you marry. Imagine being evicted because of who you are. Millions of Americans don't have to imagine this. They have to live it. because in 31 states, it's legal to discriminate against LGBT people. Get the facts at beyondido.org. Brought to you by the Gill Foundation and the Ad Council.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show here on Ohm Times, where we're changing the world one ohm at a time. And remember that the Dr. Kevin Show is a live call-in show, so you can call in at 202-570-7057 and ask either tonight's guest or myself questions, or you can go to facebook.com/mydrkevin, M-Y-D-R-K-E-V-I-N. Make sure you like the page when you're there. I'm a likable guy. You can leave a comment there, and I will get back to it. Tonight's guest, Bill Protzman. He is a successful IT entrepreneur, and he launched in 2011 MusicCare, Inc., a for-purpose corporation that teaches practical ways music can be used for self-care. Something that's near and dear to my heart. Music plays a big role in my life, always has. Bill, welcome back.
Thank you, Doctor.
We were talking about that you started this as a volunteer program with vets, and that they came back and they needed a lot of help, and that help was only being offered through what they could get through nonprofits. I have to ask you before we move to behind the curtain segment to learn more about what you have to share with my listeners today. How do you feel about the way that we treat our vets as a country, as a government? Should they have to rely on nonprofits after they've done all of this stuff for us? Or do you think that stuff like you're offering should be something that the government should be underwriting?
Well, my view on it is, first of all, tempered by having been in the industry, if you will, the veteran service organization industry for about 10 years now. It's like all the other nonprofits industries that are out there. It's very difficult to scale a nonprofit to meet the demand. And that's true whether you're serving animals in an animal shelter or veterans that need all kinds of services. And it's even true if you're the government running the VA healthcare system, it's an overwhelming job. So my particular viewpoint on it, coming from a military family, we have daughters of American Revolution on both sides of the family, people. I have a long history of being in it as a patriot and as a lover of peace. I didn't serve myself, but both my father and my son have served. This is necessary, this thing that we have to do to exert military might in the world. And as long as it's necessary, we need to take care of the people who do that job for us much better than we're doing now.
I couldn't agree more. You know, I'm not a vet, but both my papa, my father, and my stepdad, who recently passed, but he was my stepdad for 50 years, so I call him dad, both served. And, you know, I may not agree with war. I may not agree with how we profit off of war and how we are warmongers as a country. But I am horrified that we have the number of homeless vets, underserved vets, that these people go off and come back different. And they come back with visible and non-visible wounds. And they get so little support compared to how much they gave up to defend this country. It's just horrifying to me.
Your life is on the line. I mean, you pledge your life, people. That's huge. And we certainly owe that, you know?
Yeah. I mean, my favorite guy in the political stuff these days is Pete Buttigieg, and one of the things I like is he served.
Yes.
He was there.
And he served at a time, wasn't he in Don't Ask, Don't Tell in that uncomfortable period?
Yeah, yep.
Come on, guys. We're making issues out of things that aren't supposed to be issues, right? And I think Mayor Pete is shining some light on that for people to know, right? To understand.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, he signed up. He volunteered, you know, and knowing that he could not be who he truly was, but his sense of honor and need to do service, put him in that uncomfortable situation, and he did his job. And then, you know, and I don't know. And he never had a bone spur. I don't know what that is all about. Anyways, so let's go behind the curtain. And I haven't done this for a while in the behind the curtain. Bill, you're going to be up for this. I'm going to start this segment with a quiz. And the quiz question is, from what movie came this line? Ignore the man behind the curtain.
Well, hello, Dorothy.
I was going to say, it would be really sad if my music specialist didn't get this one.
Really? I mean, I'm like frightening because I don't have the greatest memory, but that one I know. So Wizard of Oz, let's call it what it was. And who was the guy, the actor
Frank
who played the wizard?
Oh, the actor. Who played the wizard? God,
I'd have to look it up.
Yep. But behind the curtain segment is where we expose people to a truth that we think that they're not getting. And obviously, I'd like you to do it in a way that helps us understand better more about music care and the work that you're doing. But expose the truth, because let's face it, the truth about the Wizard of Oz is he was a shyster from Kansas that got lost.
Yeah.
And he was hiding behind the great and powerful Oz. A big message for us right now with what's going on in this country. So tell us, behind the curtain, what truth do you want to expose my listeners to?
The easiest one to grasp is that if you're using music to interfere with feelings you don't like, you're doing it all wrong. Want me to say that again?
I got it the first time, but it was extremely powerful, and I'm going to invite you to say it again.
Sure. So if you're using music to interfere with feelings you don't like, you're doing it all wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's sort of, as you noticed, it's a mind bender, but we're designed to feel stuff. And if we deny ourselves our feelings, the psychologists tell me that isn't good. But from personal experience, I can tell you it's really destructive. And there's another way. We just have to change our mind and invite music to join us with feelings we don't like, so that those feelings we don't like leave us. They're just emotions. They're just brain chemistry, right? It's going to change. So why not allow them? See if there's any good there. See if there's anything you can use. And they'll pass because they're feelings. And they'll be replaced by something else.
You know, I have to share this, and again, you know, like I said, you've got a big fan club here on the Dr. Kevin Show. My saving grace in what was a definitely painful and abusive childhood was discovering Broadway and songs that I could sing that would help me get the emotions out. I would learn these songs. I would sing to the top of my lungs. And of course I'm giving my age away, which I don't hide anyways, but I would be singing things like, you know, Don't Rain on My Parade.
Yep.
And Before the Parade Passes By.
Oh, yeah.
And,
we grew up in the same era, man. So all that music is playing in my head right now.
Yep. And when relationships started not happening the way that I wanted them to, blah, 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 I did what I did for love. I actually auditioned for Chorus Line many years after that. But, I have a workshop that I teach called Everything You Need to Know About Life You Can Learn Through a Broadway Musical.
Beautiful.
So tell us, I understand this, but share with my listeners some of the psychology, the purpose, give us your spiel on why music is so important, why it works so well, and how can my listeners use it to help them in troubled times?
Well, let's take your paradigm, because I really love this. Musicals are a great way of showing how music fits with a given emotional moment in a production, in a movie or a musical, right? So the one that's ringing in my head is one that maybe a lot of people haven't seen, but Into the Woods is a fantastic musical. If you get a chance to see that or even watch the movie, there's so much power in that. But let's take, as long as we're there, how about The Wizard of Oz? There's so much richness in how that music informs the action in the musical itself. But more than the action, the music is there to help guide us emotionally. We need to feel the sort of hopelessness that Dorothy has when she's singing Somewhere Over the Rainbow in the gray and brownness of Kansas, right? We need to feel that. We need to feel how much she wants something more. And that's done with music. The music is probably the greatest song ever written. I've heard people say Somewhere Over the Rainbow has this amazing emotional arc that it opens up for us. It takes us from this, like the first note, somewhere, it's this giant octave leap. And when you get an octave leap like that going, that makes chills go down your spine. That's huge for a voice to do that. It's huge to hear it. And it's designed to open you up to some potential. It opens the envelope. And then, of course, as you progress through the whole musical, she finally gets it right, and she realizes that she is off to see the wizard. And that's a happy, buoyant, bouncy kind of a song that gives you the start of a journey, the anticipation, the hope. All of those feelings come in with that music. And then, of course, there's troubles and trials and tribulations along the way, too, right? And we need to be able to experience those and feel that experience, what it's like to want something very much and not have it, but to feel like you can get there if you just keep trying. You know, that message of hope runs all the way through. So these productions are designed not only to give us an allegory for what it's like, but to offer us real feelings for what that journey might feel like, the authentic journey. And, you know, you just can't take a journey without feelings. You could see a silent movie if it was totally silent, but there would be an emotional component missing. And this is the invitation in musicals, right? To give us the feeling, to give us the authentic feelings that we can then experience.
I've been teaching various New Age spiritual classes I've been in full-time practice for 30 years now, and I teach different various levels of psychic development and things like this. And I have whole segments I do with music and songs
So beautiful.
Yeah, to both open up the psychic to be able to use, and also I use it with my healing students when I train, when I teach. I could have a number of healing modalities that I've created and I teach, and that whole power of how healing music can be and how much it can help you find a way to express what was stuck inside.
Yeah. Even if that stuckness is like saying thank you and meaning it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And you brought up The Wizard of Oz, which obviously I refer to, and it was a big part of my childhood. But also that self-deprecating, if I only had a brain, if I only had a heart, if I only had courage, how often do kids, or I would say even the vets that you work with, have a moment when they feel stupid about something, or
that's part of being human too, right?
Yeah, and you know, or feel like that fear has got the best in the game, or the best hand. But you can sing those songs, and you can see yourself pushing through and passing. At least I can.
Yes. Yes, with practice, anyone can do this. The trick is to acknowledge it fully when it happens. I don't think The Wizard of Oz would be anything like the movie if it had shown up without Somewhere Over the Rainbow, for example, or actually any of the songs. But the idea there is to is to help us on the emotional ride. And if you're experiencing fear and you decide that you're going to interfere with that, sorry, probably a bad pun, but if you're experiencing fear, the idea is to experience fear. I mean, imagine going to a scary movie and not being scared. That would be disappointing. But when fear comes along, it's just showing up to propel you towards something else. But you can't ignore it. You've got to integrate it, be part of it, and allow it to be there. You don't have to go and act out on it. Let it, you know, create shivers down your spine. That, what is it called, ASM? Let it have a full effect on you. And you'll discover that the power of what you thought was a negative emotion is actually quite positive, because it can animate you to do amazing things. Find a brain.
Yes. to find the courage.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And to have a heart.
And have a heart, and know that we all have one, you know, which is a wonderful another message in the, you know, when he said, now I know I have a heart because it's breaking.
Yeah. Yeah.
So much.
And,
you know, go ahead.
We can join with, I mean, there's this connectivity, this glue that is in music that pulls us together. It pulls us in. There's no reason at all why when you hear the music that inspires you, you don't allow that and allow what happens as a result of it. I was at a concert once, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, one of the last times they all played together up at the Hollywood Bowl here in California. And the last half of the concert, dude, the last half of the concert, everyone was there standing, holding hands and singing along. It was for like, you know, 90 minutes. It was incredible. And how can you not? You know, how could you just stand there isolated when everyone else is responding to this music in that way?
Well, and sometimes it helps us reconnect with a younger version of ourselves who first
sure.
heard the song or had that experience. Or how many experiences do we have connected when we hear a song that we remember that maybe it was a song we were hearing the first time we fell in love, or when any number of life-shattering, life-building, life-flowing events happen, and that song always brings us back in some way, shape, or form, depending on how often. Obviously, we listen to the song, but, you know, it does. It connects us back, and sometimes listening to the music of a younger you makes you realize how far you've come. And
yes.
sometimes it reminds you of who you were and in some ways may still be, but life got in the way.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you brought this up a couple of times. And so let's go into it for listeners. How do you reclaim a song that you love, but that has a memory around it you don't want? You know, like a breakup song or even a love song that was like your love song and then you broke up, and now the love song always has this bad memory that's sort of tainting it. Have you talked about that with your listeners yet?
No. And we're going to be going on break any minute now. The music will be coming up to tell us we're on break. But when we come back, I am assuming that that's a topic you'd like to cover.
Oh, yeah. Let's go in there, into that, see what happens.
Yeah, let's go through it. But, and there's our ongoing music. We, Bill Protzman of Music Care, Inc., a for-purpose corporation that teaches practical ways music can be used for self-care. If you come to facebook.com/mydrkevin, you're going to find all of his accounts I could grab quickly and post underneath the comment to make sure you can find Bill. Because we'd like you to find Bill. And we'll be right back.
The Real Conscious Connection. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
911, what is your emergency?
My kid shot himself.
All right, where's the wounds?
911, what's your emergency?
Please, help. My son shot his brother.
911, what is your emergency?
Okay. 911, please state your emergency.
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns.
It wasn't locked.
Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show here on Ohm Times, where we're changing the world one, wait for it, ohm at a time. And speaking about changing the world, we have with us today Bill Protzman. Bill is the founder of Music Care, Inc., a for-purpose corporation that teaches practical ways music can be used for self-care. He's got a magna cum laude degree in piano performance. I can get that out. I can do alliterations. Really, I can. And creative writings and brings music to audiences in non-traditional ways. We are talking about how to break a negative link to a favorite song that may be attached to, to a negative experience. Bill, I'm going to let you open up this conversation, and then I'm going to jump in at some point, I'm sure. Go ahead.
Love it. So the idea behind music that you love, but you have to reclaim because it's got some sort of negative memory around it or some negative energy around it, this is something that's actually a very simple process for human beings. The music is not something that is part of us, but the emotions are part of us, and they're a very deep part of us. If it's been a love song, if you've been that close over a piece of music, That's really dialed in. That's really yours. You really own that. And, of course, you own all the memories that go along with it, too. So the trick is, how do you release the memories? There's a technique that people use extensively with veterans dealing with post-traumatic stress and with others in trauma therapy. I've used it in my own trauma therapy, and it's called EMDR. Basically, what you do is you want to create a highly active communication pathway between the two hemispheres of your brain, left and right. And I'll get into the science on a minute. But it turns out that to do that, all you have to do is stimulate the left and right side of your body in some way. And you can do that either by shifting your eyes left and right, which is why it's called eye movement, desensitization and reprocessing. But you can also fold your arms over your chest and just tap on each shoulder, left, right, left, right, left, right. Or you can slap on your knees if that's something that's working if you're sitting down. Whatever it is that creates that left, right, what they call bilateral stimulation, turns out to be remarkably effective for releasing negative memories. The science is trying to explain this, but if you think about the kinds of things you do in your life, it turns out that walking is a great way to start bilateral stimulation. Makes sense, right? Left, right, left, right. There are other obvious things that are going on. So while you're doing that bilateral stim, you want to bring the big emotional moment to what you're doing. And you can do that by listening to the song. It's really simple, because when you listen, your system will respond with all of the emotion and all of the memory that's in that music for you. And by bilaterally stimulating, it releases the negative component of that emotion, the negative component of that memory, the stuff that triggers your trauma, trips your triggers, that stuff just disappears. Isn't that weird? I mean, that's just like totally simple, right?
Yeah. I'm familiar with
EMDR.
EMDR. I'm still trying to get out, piano performance.
But, so get this. Musicians, our job as a musician is to make big memories, or to make big emotions happen and create big memories. So if you're the one who's singing on stage, right? Your job is to convey emotional content. And you can't do that if you're emotionally flat. It just, it won't work. It'll look like a bad actor, right? It's just not satisfying. My job at the piano, if I'm to perform for you, I want to make sure that the emotional content of what I have to give you is present in the music. The only way I can do that is if I have those big emotions available to me inside me that I can use. Well, that's part of practice of the piano. You practice the emotional content as well as moving your fingers. You practice the emotional content when you're singing as well as the technique of producing the sound. That, the exercise of doing that at the piano, guess what? It involves both your hands, left, right, left, right, left, right. Bilateral stimulation, it's happening. I've been doing this since I was a kid. And I didn't know what it was called. All I knew was that I had this emotional content and I could bring it up satisfyingly at the piano and it would flow through me. So when my therapist was having me do EMDR for the first time, all of a sudden I realized what was going on. Not only was it having the effect, but it was a familiar effect. It was an effect that I'd been practicing all of my life. Like from when I started to learn the piano, my first songs were left, right, left, right. So I stopped the session and I said to my therapist, you know, I explained what was going on, and then her jaw dropped. And she's like, oh my gosh. So we had this aha moment where I realized how much the practice of music had been connected to my own self-care. It had been minding me for all of my life. Now it's called EMDR, and there's science and whatever. That's great. But you know what? That science has been around for musicians since we were banging on logs, you know, drumming on logs. And yet here it is today. It's still present, and now we have evidence, and we can call it, you know, evidence-based and all of that. But it's the same thing. And if you use that with music, oh my gosh, music is all about big emotions. You don't even have to think about this. Just start doing the left, right, bring up the song that you love and allow that song to play. And maybe there are emotional components that come up for you, and maybe it's tears or maybe it's anger, whatever it is, allow it. Just let it happen. And when you feel like you've finished, then you're done for now. And that music will have lost its negative aspect, and it will just be empowering, beautiful music for you. If it takes more than one try, keep on playing.
Well, it's interesting because as somebody who has used music as a processing tool and has done some stage singing, I'm not a singer who acts, I'm an actor who sings because I perform all my songs. And the act of the performance gives me that similar experience.
You got it.
I perform the song, I get it out, I let it go. And in that, I can tie up, I can draw on whatever emotions that I've had that are similar. Because we were talking about breaking the negative link between an emotional song that might have a negative connotation to you with you, but you love the song and you'd like to like take it back,
yeah,
so to speak.
Reclaim it.
Yep. And that in that you can, but I'll reclaim the song in singing it. But I can also perform that song by the very fact that I am, changing it. I'm changing my relationship with it. So
there
I'm
you go.
Drawing
yeah.
that up and I'm doing it and things like this. Now, do you find in your work using music as an intervention for distress and depression? These alliterations, you're just going to get me with those tonight, aren't you?
I am. Yeah. Writer.
A big fan of yours posted something. He's not asking any questions. He's just making comments. William Lee, thank you for the comments. Love this show. Love this purpose. Really great to be here as a guest. Oh, is that you? Oh,
that's me.
Wait a second.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought William Lee was somebody else because it didn't have your last name. Okay.
I masquerade as William Lee on Facebook so I can give Bill Protzman to the business side of stuff.
Oh, okay. I understand that one. I have an alternative name on Facebook as well, which I won't say because I don't really want it on my radio show. that's why I have it. I only have my closest friends and my family that connect with me there. Do you find that it is highly, highly personal, or do you find that there are actually genres of music that work best in different areas? If I said to you, I am dealing with anxiety, and I don't have a song per se that to me is an anti-anxiety song. Maybe Ding Dong the Witch is Dead, if I could change
the lyrics.
Oh, yeah,
I see where you're going.
But, what would you say the genre would be? I mean, don't you do it like that?
It's like that, but it differs because all of us sort of have music we love, and that tends to be era related. So the era where you and I grew up is a different era than when our parents grew up. Different popular songs in those eras. And of course, I'm all mixed up because I found ragtime as a fifth grader, so I had to start over, and I've been catching up ever since, getting on top of it all. So it really starts with the music you love. So I'd be asking you, for example, so you're feeling anxious. Do you have music to support your anxiety? Not change it,
I'm gonna
but support
say no.
it. Yeah, so that's an opportunity because together we can then go and explore songs that not that make you anxious, but that allow you to feel anxious. There's a difference. And I don't know what those songs might be. Do you like metal? Is that something that's in your space?
Metal time tends to most of the time irritate me.
Okay, so you don't want an irritational. You just need something that makes you anxious. Like, I don't know, you know, something that makes a lot of us anxious right now in America is patriotic music.
Yeah, patriotic music makes a lot of us anxious these days. I wonder why.
You know, but you want to get music that sort of works with you on that level of tension. And there's a lot of tension in anxiety, right? So you need music to allow that and really get you solid in anxiety. Why is that a good thing? Because who wants to carry around a bunch of unexpressed anxiety? Better to let it go, right? Let it come up, let it be fully felt, and it will leave you like an emotion. That's what they do. They come and go. We're not joyous 100% of the time. Joy is something that happens every so often. And, I mean, looking around at the spectrum of emotions, we like joy. We don't like anxiety. But let's take judgment out of it for a second, because as emotional creatures, our emotions are non-binary. They're not right or wrong. They're just there. Even anxiety and fear and the stuff we really don't care for, those emotions are just there. They're just like guardrails along the road, and they help you stay in the lane. So you and I would find a song that helps you in that anxiety by feeling it fully.
Well, and it's interesting because one of the things that you're saying is one of the things is I always look at joy as that there's a component of joy that is not other than. And I will work with my clients sometimes on how to feel joyously angry or joyously grieving or joyously happy. And it's the fullness with which we allow ourselves to feel it. To me, that's the joy component, because if you've ever watched somebody have a really good, like, anger on, they're joyfully having that anger because they're feeling it. It's vibrating through their body. They're expressing it. And it tells me usually that means they don't have a lot of built-up anger.
Yes, right. You're not carrying around a whole bunch of leftover unexpressed anger.
Yep. They're not sending in a nuclear bomb to, you know, kill the rat that's in the basement.
Right.
They're emotionally appropriate for the situation, which is never meant to limit people. But it's very telling when people can't be emotionally appropriate, whether that inappropriate is not allowing themselves to feel any of it, or it's 10 times more than it should be.
Yeah, it leaks out all over the place if you don't express it.
Yep,
you know?
Yep, it's going to come places.
And you're so wise, because we can feel joy and anger at the same moment, or sadness and happiness at the same moment. I mean, we're emotionally complex this way. And the non-binary nature of emotions is exactly that. That's the richness in them. It's like blending colors on pain. You know, you can have all the blends of the fields. They're all good if you don't stop them.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and this is one of the things that makes me sad is how quickly schools are willing to underfund or cut music programs. Because if you've ever had a group that needs to have music as a release, it's a bunch of hormone-ridden teenagers.
Yep.
And to have a way to blow off some steam with a, you know, better with a saxophone or a trumpet or a clarinet or a set of drums than with an AK-15.
Oh, truly. Much better if you're playing music. If you can listen to it, great. I love what hip-hop has done for culture because there's a great way of a safe experience of anger in hip-hop that a whole slice of our population hasn't gotten, you know, and a whole slice of our population has. Billie Eilish is doing amazing things for teenage girls right now that nobody else is doing. And what she's doing is helping them to feel deeply around topics that are very difficult, but that are also things that we can connect around as human beings. That's amazing to me, you know?
It's so funny because I was going to, I was supposed to be doing a tour with my ADD work, and I wrote a hip hop song to be sung at the beginning of it.
Perfect.
To express the frustration of these kids that are getting, you know, getting a disability label that don't deserve it. Anyways, our music is coming up. Bill, you'll have to come back and play again. I think we have about 10 more conversations we could have had today easily.
I love it. We're glad to.
Bill Prossman of Music Care, Inc., a for-profit corporation, teaches practical ways music can be used for self-care. Come to facebook.com/mydrkevin and you'll see a dozen different ways to get in touch with Bill. You can leave comments and we'll track Bill down if you're hearing this as one of our many replays.